Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning. If you're just arriving, do come in. There's lots of seats at the front, as ever. There's a few seats at the front. And a big welcome to you all. If you are visiting and here today for the first time or the second time, a really, really warm welcome to you. Please do come and say hello. Say hello on the welcome desk. Come and join us for coffee after the service. We'd love to get to know who you are. And if you're watching online as well, a really warm welcome to you. You are really part of us, and we're really glad that you are listening in whenever that may be. Few notices, first of all, we are in the middle of Lent, and you know, we are having a really special time in Lent of simply pursuing Jesus. We're going to say a little bit more about that in the service, but a reminder of two things coming up. Firstly, tomorrow is the third of our five Monday sessions where we're simply pursuing Jesus in prayer soaking. So do come along to that, and I'll say a bit more in a moment. And then tonight, we've got a really special, different thing at our evening service. Instead of having, a long sermon and, you know, our normal style, what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of worship and waiting on God. And we've got a bit of an idea as to how that's going to start, but we don't know how that's going to end. So come along and find out how that's going to end. Come and be part of that. We're actually going to be not going to be up here at all. We're going to be all down in the middle, sitting around our campfire, our fire there and another one there, as we've been doing on Monday nights, and really having a chance of just being open, completely open to what God wants to do and what the Holy Spirit wants to do among us. So I'm really excited about that tonight. If you don't normally come to the evening service, why don't you come along tonight? You won't have to do anything. You can sit there and do nothing all the time if you want, or you can take part. And we'll be passing open mics around and just allowing everybody to share if they want to. So come along and see what God's going to do tonight. And then next Sunday, this guy, Mark Mellowish, who I bumped into a couple of times this week, is going to be coming to speak at our evening service. Mark used to be on the leadership of New Wine nationally. He's now the Diocesan Mission Enabler in Hereford Diocese. He's a really good guy, knows our churches a little bit. And he's really excited about coming and ministering to us. Do invite people from other churches particularly. We would love other people from other churches to come and join us next Sunday as we pursue the presence. He's going to be talking about pursuing the presence of God. Some of us, as I'm going to say, share in a minute, have been to the New Wine Leaders Conference this week up in Harrogate. And we are really keen to get a church group going to New Wine this summer in Shepton Mallet. Now it's back not too far from us. About two-thirds of the tickets for that week have been sold already. So tickets will sell out in the next few weeks. I've booked in. A few others have already booked in. If you would like to come and join us, details are on the mailing or talk to myself or if you want to join one of the teams, that's a great way to serve and get your place for free as well. See the details on the mailing, but it'll be really lovely if we could have a group go. And also, these days, they're live streaming it if you've got the license, which we have. So we're hoping to have New Wine at home as well at that time. So we'll put it on the big screen like we did a few years ago in COVID. And so people who can't come can come to some of the evening sessions, and we're going to do that. And if anyone fancies being part of the organising group to make that happen here, while I and others are down in Shepton Mallet, then please do talk to me. But that's really exciting. We're going to be continuing our series looking at 2 Corinthians today. Joe's going to be speaking to us as we look at persevere and be holy in the next section. So as I said, a group of folk from here went to this New Wine conference. That was the conference. 1,800 church leaders across the nation meeting in Harrogate Conference Centre. It was a really special time, and the whole theme of the 3 days, 2.5 days, was holy, humble, and healthy. How to be holy, humble, and healthy leaders. I'm going to be sharing a bit about that tonight, a bit about that in the service. But one of the things that really struck me most of all was that there was quite a lot of talk about knowing our identity. If we want to be people who are healthy and humble, then actually let's know and be secure in our identity of who we are and who God is. And particularly just to know that whatever we are, whatever our past, wherever we've been, whatever we've done, we are deeply, deeply loved by God. And I want to just begin from some verses from Isaiah 43, which were verses for the people of Israel, but I think we can see from this God's character and see from this how God sees us. Isaiah 43 says this, "But now this is what the Lord says, He who created you, Jacob, He who formed you, Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." God knows our names. He summoned us. He knows each of us individually. "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze." If you're going through tough times this morning, hear that promise. God's with you in the midst of the storms. He will rescue you. "For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I give Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead, since you are precious and honored in my sight. And because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you." You know, more than anything this morning, I think God wants us to start by knowing that we are precious and honored in his sight. And he loves each and every one of us deeply. Let's just ponder that for a moment. Allow those truths to sink in, that God's with you, that he knows you by name, you're precious in his sight, and he loves you deeply. And Lord, we thank you that whatever our circumstances this morning, we can be secure in our identity in you, knowing that you have an amazing, unfailing love for us. Amen. Let's stand and sing. And children, if you want to come and grab an instrument or a flag, then do. And let's praise God. A couple of songs to really praise God for all he's done for us. Thank you. standing, why don't we just speak out words of thanks and praise to God. Just anything that you're grateful for this morning, anything you want to praise of who God is, just shout those things out, speak them out to God in praise.
We praise you for your faithfulness.
Thank you for your goodness.
The beautiful Malvern Hills.
Your love and your love. Thank you for your patience with us.
Thank you for your new life springing up in many places.
Lord, we know each and every one of us, that each and every person here is precious to you, from the youngest to the oldest, for those who have known you all their lives virtually and those who are still exploring who you are. We thank you that you know us, that you love us, that you have a purpose for us, and that you walk with us every day of our lives. In the name of Jesus, amen. Do take a seat, and before the children going out, we're going to just share something which some of us were really privileged to hear on Sunday, on Monday, at our Simply Pursuing Jesus in Silence. And that's what it looked like on Monday night. I think there were 52 of us there, sitting around the two fire pits. One was lit with candles and one was artificially lit. And we were sitting there with Jesus. And we sat there, after a bit of an introduction, we sat there in silence for a good 35, 40 minutes. And it was so powerful. Those who are there, you know, there is something really special about simply sitting in silence with a group of people before God. And at the end, what we did is we just said, if anyone wants to share anything, there's an open mic here and you can share what God's spoken to you about. And lots of people did, including this guy. And what she shared, and several people have come back to me this week about how profound it was and how special it was, I just have invited Skye to share it with us. And particularly what we had was this picture out, which is in our chapel, which is Holman Hunt's Jesus, the Light of the World, Jesus knocking on the door. And it was particularly this picture, Skye, that spoke to you, wasn't it? And do you want to just explain what God really spoke to you about through this picture?
I was looking at this picture, and it really struck me that all the darkness in the woods is like the evil spirit, and then Jesus is lighting up the world and knocking on your heart for you to open up and let him into your life.
And that Jesus, Light of the World, just comes and breaks into the darkness, doesn't he? And you've known that in your life, haven't you, Skye? And many others of us have known it. Isn't that amazing? And that's particularly what God spoke to Skye about on Monday night and then spoke to lots of the rest of us about after Skye shared it with us. And how did you find the silence, Skye? Was it quite hard for you to be in silence for all that long?
No, not really.
Did you find it all right to sit and meet with God? And you kept awake?
Yeah.
And it was just great to have one of our young people, one of our children, sitting with us. So no one, if Skye can do it, anyone can do it. Well, perhaps. but children, why don't you come tomorrow night? Even if you come for 10 minutes, we're going to do prayer soaking, which isn't quite sitting in silence. It's actually sitting with a whole load of music going on in the background, but just letting God meet us. And if you want to come and bring a cushion or a mat and lie on the floor, I was lying on the floor for a bit on Monday, then come and lie on the floor and just in that space, allow God to meet us. So Skye, I'm going to pray that we would all know God's light in the dark places that we go to and that you would do too. And thank you so much. Shall we give her a clap for just sharing that? And we are a church where we want the young people and the children to minister to us. And, you know, Sky's just shown a great example of that. You know, we're not waiting for them to minister to us. They minister to us now. And they bless us and God speaks through them. So let's pray for that and for the children as they go out to their groups before they come back for communion later on the service. But Lord, I thank you for this amazing picture that you, and description that you gave to Sky on Monday night in that time of silence. Thank you for this image of you, the light of the world, just bringing light in those really dark places. And we particularly think of dark places now. Maybe actually think of just someone who you know is in a dark place, or a country or a place which actually seems really dark at the moment. Just in the quiet, I invite you to pray for God's light, for Jesus's light to shine in that place. And we do pray for our children and pathfinders as they go to their groups now. Would you bless them? Would you meet with them? Would you encourage them, spur them on to follow you? In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks so much, Sky. Children and young people, do go off to your groups. Nathan is coming into Pathfinders for the first time this morning. Very exciting to share with the Pathfinders. While they are doing that, if you're new here, we have a weekly mailing which goes out on a Friday that you can connect with and get downloaded and sent to you by clicking on that link, scanning that code, and that's how you tell us who you are and get connected with us. While they're going out, why don't you just turn to the person next to you and just say hello? And whatever else you want to say. To continue those conversations over coffee. And we're going to, before we have our Bible reading, before Joe comes and speaks to us, we are going to say together the Lent Prayer, which if you haven't got yet one of our Lent cards with the prayer on the back, do grab one on the way out. But we're going to say our Lent prayer together, which prepares us for hearing God's word spoken and just prepares our hearts for God meeting us in his words. Let's say together, dear Lord Jesus, as we draw aside to listen during this season of Lent, will you teach us to honor you with our sacrifice? Will you teach us how to dwell in your love and resurrection power? Will you teach us the ways of obedience? Will you help us lay down old and destructive yokes and take up your easy yoke and learn from you? Will you show us how to rejoice daily and to share life in all its fullness with those you bring before us? Will you help us to simply pursue you above all else? Lord, who conquered death, we acknowledge our complete dependence upon you. Help us to align our hearts with yours and to recognize the sound of your voice. Amen. And Derek's going to come and read our reading.
The reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 3 to chapter 7, verse 1. And you can find this on page 1162 of the Church Bibles. Paul's hardships. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and not yet killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also. Warning about idolatry. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. Therefore, come out from them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch no unclean things, and I will receive you. And I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So it's very clear that God has been teaching us as a church and as individuals what it means to triumph in trials, revealing to us by his Spirit how we might apply those insights to our own lives. And I hope that today will be another opportunity to receive whatever God has as gift for us this morning. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as you bring your word to us by the power of your Spirit, we pray we might be ready to receive and to act on those things which you have revealed to us in Jesus. Amen. So last week I saw a film which with my wife we watched together, and it was the most amazing film. If you can get a chance to see it, please do. It's called The Rescue. And this little boy is one of 12 youngsters who you might remember in 2018 were trapped down a very deep cave system in northern Thailand, along with their coach, or a soccer team. And they just got completely stuck because the monsoon rains came early and the cave system was completely flooded. And they were huddling in this high part of the cave with nobody knowing where they were and nobody knowing how long they could survive. And Sean and I watched with amazement and suspense. And yet, of course, because it was a true story, we knew how it would finish. We knew the end from the beginning. And those of you who will remember that story, which is all over the media, will have found the same. And it was a very different watch because of that. They, of course, didn't know how it would turn out. The people in Gaza don't know how it'll turn out. The tiny number of Christians in Iran don't know how things will turn out. And as we face all kinds of trials in our lives, whether it be health or relationships or finance, whatever it might be, the question that this morning I want to focus on is how can we keep going? How can we persevere through it all? And what the passage that we've just heard read teaches us is that St. Paul had a particular perspective for persevering. He had a way of looking at things that enabled him to persevere. Paul wants to remind us how much he and Timothy have been through in their mission to see people reconciled to God, as we were thinking about last week, and discover the kind of life that comes through having a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You'll remember that at the start of his letter, Paul also listed a whole set of troubles or hardships, which with the benefit of hindsight, he learned to see that this happened so that they might rely not on themselves, but on God. In chapter 1, verse 9, the theme that runs right the way through that letter. But here in chapter 6, he comes at it again. Verses 4 and 5 describe some more. He describes his troubles and hardships, distresses in beatings, imprisonments and riots, hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. That's just for starters. It's quite a life that he's living. Quite a lot to persevere through. But then Paul reveals how he can go through all this still relying on God. And then sums it up for me in a striking phrase which I've been living with since I read this passage a couple of weeks ago and pondering on. He says, we are people who have nothing and yet possess everything. Verse 10, having nothing yet possessing everything. That's a strange sort of phrase, isn't it? What does that mean? Well, we will be aware of those whose lives are profoundly sad and ache deeply within because they have everything and yet they possess nothing that really matters. And Paul is saying that he might have nothing in terms of whatever the world can offer, and yet he possesses everything that is of true value. Why? Because he has Christ. Because within his heart, he knows that his true identity is also a child of God. Come what may, therefore, nothing can change that. And this he describes earlier in this letter as having the most incredibly precious, invaluable treasure. At the beginning of chapter 4, he speaks about that treasure. Treasure which is ours, he says, in jars of clay. We are earthenware vessels, and the treasure is within. Now Jesus speaks about treasure. Remember his parable of the hidden treasure in Matthew 13, where he told one of the briefest parables I think he ever told. He just said, the kingdom of heaven, that is life, what life is like when God's in charge, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a person found it, they hid it again. And then in their joy went and sold all that they had and bought that field. So that person, when he found this treasure, was so overwhelmed, was so filled with joy, that he went and sold all that he had, meaning that he had nothing, so that he might possess the everything that was this treasure. I wonder whether you experience something of that joy when the reality of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, lit up your lives. If you can remember that time, a profound sense of maybe exuberant joy. I remember jumping up in the air as I was going to some toilets on the way back from a great event where I'd given my life to the Lord. And, crossing the road, I just crossed the road and jumped around and said, "Hallelujah, hallelujah." I don't think there was any traffic coming, so it was all right. It was an exuberance. And yet there's another type of joy which is deeply, profoundly true, which knows that nothing can separate us from the love of God now. I'm known and I'm loved. I'm loved and I'm known for who I am. This is the joy that Jesus is describing in this parable of the man who found the treasure and just sold everything. In other words, everything else just didn't matter in comparison with what this treasure was. He could let go of everything in order that he might receive that which God had for him. That divine exchange is the thing, the invitation to surrender all that we have and all that we are, that we might receive all that God has and all that he is. It's moving from this closed, having, grabbing, owning things myself, to letting that go with open hands to receive whatever God has for us in and through his Son, Jesus. So what is this treasure? Well, there are so many, many jewels. But I also want to focus on one. There's in the crown, for example, King Edward's crown. You can see it's full of jewels, and we could preach hundreds of sermons on the different aspects of what it means to have a life in Christ. But overall, the crown is the thing that sums up all those jewels. And the one phrase, the life of Christ, is what sums up the treasure that God has given us. And it struck me, that in Holy Communion, which we will be sharing shortly in this service, when we come to receive the bread of life, we're receiving the one who said, "I am the bread of life." We're receiving the very life of Christ by faith. And we can't receive it if we come for communion and our hands are all like this. We need to have hands that are open and ready to receive in vulnerability and love. And in fact, we'll hear those words, "The body of Christ keep you in eternal life." Because the life of Christ is eternal. The Greek word is zoe, which is about a quality of life that is unshakable, that is enduring, that is rich. "Whoever eats this bread," said Jesus, "shall never die again. This bread, his life, is the bread of heaven that feeds us till we want no more." And so that's why St. John, the beloved disciple of Jesus, was able to write his letters to Christians in the area where he was ministry, to help them see that it was a certain truth that they already had, that eternal life. In 1 John 5 verse 13, he says, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life, so that you know that you have eternal life. It is a present continuous tense. It's not a one-off gift, but an ongoing reality. And just as being a child of God is a relationship that is eternal, so having this treasure within is something no one can take away. So here's the perspective that Paul is writing from which he can view all that happens in his few short years on earth. It's a perspective that enables him to declare to the Philippians, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. It's a perspective that enables him to persevere through all his troubles and hardships. It's the perspective which enables him to describe them as light and momentary afflictions in comparison to the treasure which God has given him in Christ. Life in all its fullness. And so we are invited to believe, as the English mystic all those centuries ago wrote, Julian of Norwich, that at the end, all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of things shall be well. Because you're a child of God. Because you have eternal life. All shall be well. So in the light of this profound truth, may we conclude by pausing to reflect on the things that we are going through now. It may be the things that are on your heart, or some of the bigger things that are happening in the world, or to individuals that are going through huge times of trial. It may be the things that in your own life that are particularly difficult and testing you to the full. It may be that you feel that darkness around, which only the light of Christ can penetrate. And I want to pray and ponder out of the verses from Hebrews 12. And can I ask you just to close your eyes and maybe have in mind the things that you are feeling are particularly trying you at this time. The writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, all those who have gone before, who have kept the faith and run the race, Lord, we thank you for them, that they are cheering us on, that their example and inspiration are there for us to rejoice in and take courage from. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Lord, would you come in your love and purify us again. Refine us and make our hearts ready to burn with love for you. And let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Lord, we want to run with perseverance because we are fixing our eyes on you. We can't run with perseverance just by our own effort.
We can only do it, Lord, because you are at the center of our vision. Be thou my vision, Lord. You are the perfecter and pioneer of faith, the faith that sees the end at the beginning. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Thank you, Lord. It was that same joy that filled you, that fills us when we see the truth of what is to be. That you, King Jesus, are reigning in glory and always will. So, Lord, we consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that we might not grow weary or lose heart. Lord, make us to become people of perseverance who know we possess everything, who know who we are and the treasure that we have in you. Amen. I'm just going to affirm that truth of who we are as we sing a song in response, just recognizing that those things that seek to hold us back, the things that entangle us, the fears that make us feel we can't do this, we can't go on anymore. We want to recognize that it's being a child of God that enables us to persevere. Let's stand together.
Today's passage finishes with these words, therefore. Therefore, because we know our identity, because we know God is faithful despite our trials. Therefore, because we have these promises, beloved, let us purify ourselves from every impurity of the flesh and spirit. And let us cultivate holiness in the awe of God. You know, knowing our identity and knowing God's identity, therefore, leads us to want to be holy, to want to live as God calls us, has created us to live. Just do take a seat for a moment, and I want to take you back to Harrogate. And my morning walk, I didn't have the hills to walk on in Harrogate, but I found some amazing gardens, and I'm going to be talking about them a bit more tonight, and I'm not going to say that now. Come and hear me talk about the rest of the gardens tonight. But this was in the Japanese garden. And as I was wandering around listening to Lectio and Praisego and a bit of worship music, I came across this, a beautiful pagoda which reflected perfectly in this little boating lake. And as I looked at it, I felt God say to me, if you want to be a reflection of who I am, if you want to be like me, that pursuit of Christ-likeness, then you first need to still yourself to listen to my voice. Because actually that it was perfectly still that morning, and there wasn't an ounce of wind. And that reflection was only perfect because it was completely still. And actually, in order for us to really reflect Jesus, I sense God saying, we need to still ourselves. To listen to my voice as to how I want to shape you and change you and transform you. And it's when you meet me in the stillness that I will most transform and shape you to become more Christ-like. So I just want to invite us to have a moment of stillness now. As we were praying before the service, there was also a picture which confirmed two pictures that we'd had of the same thing at New Wine too, of, you know, when you heat a gold bar up, we've talked about gold and preciousness, precious metals today. When you heat a gold bar up, actually what happens is all the impurities rise to the top and then you scrape them off and what's left is really pure and refined. And I just sense in the stillness, God wants to just bring to the surface some things that he wants us to deal with. He wants to scrape off our lives so that actually we can be pure. So just in the quiet, let him speak. Come to him in the stillness. God, our Father, we come to you in sorrow for our sins, for turning away from you and ignoring your will for our lives. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For being half-hearted worshippers and worshipping other things instead of you. Father, forgive us, save us and help us. For not living our everyday lives as an act of worship to you. Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. For not always acknowledging your greatness and your love for us, Father, forgive us. Save us and help us. May the God of love bring us back to himself, forgive us our sins, and assure us of his eternal love in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Colin's going to continue to lead us in prayer, trusting that that's a false alarm.
Let's pray. Father, we have already seen today how you are the light of the world and you can shed light into the darkness. We want to lift to you some of the things that are very dark in our world at the moment, that break your heart and break ours. We pray for your light and your love to be shone and shared amongst those in Gaza, the families of those who died and those who were injured. We pray for more aid to be forthcoming and to be delivered in a way that is accessible and safe for those who are in such desperate need. And we also lift to you the family and friends of Alexei Navalny, who died in prison last week. We pray for all those who stand against evil dictatorships and put their lives on the line, longing to see a new government emerge and freedom for its people. I just want to pause for you to pray personally for any areas where you believe you really are seeking God's light to shine, to intervene in situations that seem almost impossible. And just building on what Dave was saying just now, maybe there's one or two people here who have been persevering a lot for quite a while and are feeling exhausted and just washed up. I urge you to come forward to seek prayer at the end of the service, but I just lift you to the Lord now and ask for his love and his light to shine into those difficult areas in which you see perhaps no obvious solutions, no easy answers. And we come closer to home. Father, I thank you for the guests on our current Alpha course. I thank you for answered prayers and lives that have been transformed. Will you continue to bless those who are growing in their faith and seeking to put you first in their lives? We also lift to you our many contacts through CAP who are suffering due to the rising cost of living, some finding it difficult to find accommodation and suffering with considerable mental health challenges. We pray that your love and your light may shine into their lives, and we pray blessing on those leaders and befrienders who seek to help them both to find practical solutions but to find eternal solutions with you. And finally, Lord, we pray for our Chase leadership team. We thank you for the breakthroughs in the last couple of months. We pray that you'll give wisdom and discernment to those seeking to set up the new leadership team. We pray your blessing on our friends at St. Mary's as they establish their place in the Chase team and reach out to the local community. We pray that your will be done in terms of the future leadership across our churches, and for patience as we wait to see your plan come to fruition. All of these things we ask in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
And do continue to pray for the Chase team. I'm so encouraged at what is happening. Every time we have a meeting to work on the parish profile a bit more, we realise we're already out of date because things have moved on so much, and there's such unity and such excitement about what God's doing. We're going to sing and prepare for communion by singing O Come to the Altar, and hopefully the children and young people, some of them, are going to come and join us for communion too. But let's prepare our hearts for communion by knowing that each and every one of us is welcome, that God invites each and every one of us to come and share in this bread and wine this morning.
I hardly
So we come to share the peace with each other before we come to the altar. Jesus said, and hear this, some of you, particularly those of you who are really burdened and struggling to keep going. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. My peace I leave with you. It's not a peace that the world can give. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Because he's with you. And because you're a child of God. So the peace of the Lord be always with you. And also with you. Let's briefly share the peace with one another. Those around us. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Bless you. So the children and young people may or may not join us. Just whatever happens, happens. The Lord is here. And so are our young people. Yes. The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It's right to give thanks and praise. It's always right to give you thanks, God, our Father, holy and strong, King forever. You made us and the whole universe and filled your world with life. You sent your Son to live among us, Jesus, Saviour, Mary's child. He suffered on the cross. He died to save us from our sins. He rose in glory from the dead. And you send your Spirit to bring new life to the world and fill us with power from on high. On the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends, and he took a loaf of bread and gave thanks to you, Father. He broke it and gave it to them, saying, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. Father, today we remember Jesus. His body is the bread of life. At the end of supper, taking the cup of wine, he gave you thanks and said, drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this to remember me. Father, we do this to remember Jesus. He has forgiven us. And Father, as we remember his death and resurrection, send your Holy Spirit that the bread and wine we bring before you may be for us Christ's body and his blood. Pour your Spirit on us, that we may love one another as we work for the peace of the earth and wait for Jesus to come in glory. For honour and praise belong to you, Father, with Jesus your Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Do sit or kneel as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. And we break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. So draw near with faith, receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. I just want to offer, if you have particularly been moved by what's happened this morning, if you particularly have sensed God just being at work in you, perhaps particularly about those who are struggling just to keep going with the difficult stuff. And someone just mentioned particularly those who are struggling financially, just a call, you know, if you're struggling financially, come and receive prayer particularly. But also, I want to say, if you want to just know your identity in Christ better, if you just want to know that actually you really are loved and you really are a child of God, then come and get someone to pray with you and bless you and to pray that God would fill you with his love and affirm your identity this morning.
There are going to be people who are just going to be up the front here, I think, who will pray with you after you've received communion. Just go over to them and just they would love to pray with you, or after the service as well. And if there's anything else where you just want a blessing from God this morning, then just go for some prayer after you've taken communion. We'll be serving at the front and the back as ever. There's non-alcoholic at the front. All the bread is gluten-free. So please come when you're directed. So let's say these words together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. I'm going to say the blessing in a moment, and we have a final song. If you need to go, go. If you want to stay, stay. If you want to come and get some more prayer, do come get some prayer. They're going to be around for, you know, the next 10 minutes after the service. They would love to pray for you. Do join us for coffee in the hall after the service, and if you're new, go and introduce yourself on the welcome team, and they'll have some stuff that they can give you as well. But just let's hear those words of 2 Corinthians 7:1 as we go from here. Therefore, since we have these promises, dear friends, let us purify ourselves from everything that contaminates body and spirit, perfecting holiness out of reverence for God. So let us go as holy and as humble people into God's world to be his disciples wherever he takes us this week. That we will go and take the aroma of Christ. We will go and be the frail clay jars that we are, knowing that his treasure, his resurrection power is inside. Let us be obedient to all he calls us this week and go out with joy in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's sing Living Hope. Go if you need to go.
Desperate.